a very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM, Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Yes, hello there. You're very welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on Dublin's 98FM. It's Jamie Moore here. Hello and thanks for joining us as thousands of you do each and every Sunday. Coming up over the next hour or so, we're going to hear from Trevor Clark, former Shamrock Rovers player, now playing for Rotherham in League One in the UK. But his girlfriend may not be too happy when she hears this.
She's down a little bit of cooking, but hers isn't great either.
I hope she's not listening or she'll never cook for you again or she'll poison you.
No, I think, to be fair, I'd say I'm the better cook out of the over, so I'll probably prefer to cook myself. But
he also had major problems building his IKEA furniture. More on that in a few moments' time. We'll check in with the four Irish provinces involved in Heineken European Champions Cup action this weekend. Preparations for league campaigns for the boys and girls in blue, including a chat with Dublin footballer Paul Mannion. Conor McGregor's return will be on our agenda as well, and the latest on the financial future of the FAI after that meeting with UEFA and the government officials earlier in the week. And then we'll be joined by 17-year-old Keen Barry, the World Youth Darts Champion. The Irish teenager made his debut at the Men's World Championships over Christmas as well. He was born in 2002, around the time of Ireland playing in the World Cup in Japan and South Korea. Hence his name. His first name is spelled K-E-A-N-E.
My father said to whoever scores first in the World Cup for Ireland on that day, whatever it was going to be my name. Like, and Matt Holland scored, so my mother wasn't having any of that. So Roy Keane came up and the show was keen. So.
A pack, and that's what I call sport as always. So let's waste no time and get the show on the road this Sunday.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Now first on this week's And That's What I Call Sport, very happy to welcome former Middlesbrough youth and Shamrock Rovers player Trevor Clark to the show. Trevor currently playing with League One Rotherham United, who are competing for promotion to the Championship right up at the top end of the table. Trevor played around 100 games for Shamrock Rovers in the League of Ireland before moving to the League One side. And he's also an Irish 21s international, has played for his country at 15s, 17s and 19s as well, and joins us as part of our Irish Abroad series in a month when so many young Irish players are doing so well in the UK. Trevor, welcome back to 98FM again. How are you?
How are you, Dan? How's it going?
I'm great. No problem, Trev. Thanks for coming on. I'm great, thank you, and thanks for having a chat. Now, the last time I spoke to you, you were a Shamrock Rovers player. Now you're a player playing for Rotherham in League One. So, how's life in England?
Yeah, it's good. It's good so far. Anyway, it just came unexpected, really. So, trying to adapt to things. The first couple of weeks was hard, and trying to get everything sorted, but everything kind of set into place at the right time and finding my sheet now.
Yeah, you might just explain to our listeners, Trevor, you know, how quickly the move came about, because you were in the middle of the League of Ireland season with Shamrock Rovers. The transfer window opened in the summertime and you got called into the manager, Stephen Bradley's office.
Yeah, well, I think we were playing against UCD on the Sunday and I was actually suspended in that game because I got too many yellow cards. So I think it was a half time in the game. Stephen Bradley just said to me, can I speak to you in the office after the game? So I was thinking to myself, what have I done wrong here? Thinking, what has he got to say to me? Because I was actually going to be signing a new contract at Rovers. So then when I went into the office then after the game, he just said, look, an offer came in from a club and we've accepted it. So that was on the Sunday. So then we flew to England on the Tuesday and I was moved over and all with a Thursday. So it literally happened in the space of a week. So it was kind of still a shock to me, but I was delighted that it happened in the same way.
Now, there's a good story. Shamrock Rovers that day beat UCD 7-0. They were 4 up at half-time, so the manager, Stephen Bradley, able to discuss transfers with one of his suspended players at half-time because that game was going so well, Trevor. And you go from, you know, nearly agreeing a new deal with Shamrock Rovers to moving back to the UK. I mentioned in my introduction you spent some time at Middlesbrough as a teenager as well. So why did you decide to go for a second stint?
When I came back and signed for Shamrock Rovers, I always said to myself, I'm not going to just go back to England for the sake of going back to England or just to be there. I always said that I was going to give it a couple of seasons in the League of Ireland and get more game time around more senior players and learn off all the pros as Shamrock Rovers, the likes of Stephen McPhail, Ronan Finn, Joey O'Brien, like all them players that you can learn off and you have to just take everything on board. So then obviously when that came in, then I thought it was the right time for me to go back over, and all the experience that I got out of League of Ireland helped me a lot along the way to do what I'm going to be doing over here. So I think if I hadn't been there at the end of the League of Ireland and had a couple of seasons and not obviously 100 games I've played, I think that's played a big part in my career and going back over here to England.
Yeah, and Trevor Corr still 21 as well, so very, very young. And you know, it's great to have played so many senior games in the League of Ireland as well. A great example of what the League of Ireland can do for very good young players as well. And we were due to speak to Trevor around the time that he signed for Rotherham, but 3 days after he signed and around the time that the move was actually announced, disaster struck in a behind-closed-doors friendly game and Trevor suffered a really bad injury. What happened?
Well, I was actually only at the signing and I only had my first training session with all the lads. I was only getting to know the lads, had my first training session. And then the day after that was my second day and we had a reserve game against Newcastle before the season was starting. So I was just playing left back and the ball came down the wing, they crossed the ball in and the fella that was marking just went to run across me and I just went to block the ball, but me and the keeper on my own team collided. And I actually done my PCL in my right knee. So it wasn't the best of starts that you could have got over here. But I think when I was at Shamrock Rovers and doing my ACL and being out for so long, I think that helped me in the long run with doing my right knee because I knew what it takes to get back. I knew what I had to do and there's no shortcut. So I think doing my ACL actually helped me getting back from this one.
Yeah, now a PCL is a posterior cruciate ligament. My Google machine has just told me, Trevor. So how serious was the injury and how much apart from obviously it being a physical blow, how much of a mental blow when you've, you know, signed a 3-year professional contract back in the UK at a very good club and you're probably on the way to a hospital and you're getting news from a doctor that you've, you know, really badly hurt your knee?
Yeah, well, look, I feared worse at the start because obviously when I done my other knee before, straight away I thought I've done the ACL or everything was just going through my mind. I didn't know what was wrong with my knee because on the pitch when it happened my whole leg went like blue and I couldn't move my leg, and then obviously you're thinking the worst when you're on the pitch. So before I knew it, my second day in, I'm in the back of an ambulance on the way down the motorway and into the hospital, and I was sitting there for a bit and went in to see the doctor, and the doctor that seen me actually told me, says, more likely it's your ACL. So I'm sitting there for like a half an hour waiting for them to come back thinking the ACL is gone. I'm only at a signing a 3-year deal and they're 12 months, that's probably gone out the window already. But luckily enough, I got the results back and PCL, it's bad, but it's not as bad as what your ACL is. So I was only probably just a little over 2 months getting back full fitness, but the club are a great part in that. Today I got the results for what happened. He had a programme put in place, had everything put in place from day one and just got me back to feel as soon as possible.
Yeah, so you signed in July, you made your debut then in October because of the injury, of course, and in that debut I think you scored the winner in the English Football League trophy, so having had to wait a little while to start your career as a Rotherham player, you managed to hit the back of the net in your debut.
Yeah, look, obviously after being out injured for such a while and I wasn't even supposed to be in the squad that day for that game. And then it was just a chance that he said to me, look, he'll put you in the squad, get the match day feeling back and see how it like before starting being involved in the squad. Then a bit of luck happened, someone got injured at half time and he just called me and said, look, just go on and play the second half. It's basically a free hit for you. You've been out for a while, obviously I'm not up to fitness. Went on and then I think we went 2-1 down, then I set up the equaliser and I got taken out for the penalty, and then in the 70 something minute I actually scored the winner. But then 10 seconds after you score a goal is probably the best feeling that you'll ever get in your life. Nothing will ever match that, like, especially on my debut, it was something special.
And I love that, you know, when someone scores a big goal at any football stadium, really, you know, you see the bench and you see the manager and the subs and the teammates and the fans and the commentators and the people on their laptops quickly trying to type down who crossed the ball in, who scored, what defender was marking someone, etc, etc. But for you as a professional footballer, what's that feeling actually like when you score a big goal and that little, you know, 8-10 seconds you spoke about immediately after the ball's gone in?
It's just, like, honestly, I don't know what, like, you can't describe the feeling that what it's like when the ball hits the back of the net, especially in a game like that in the cup and your debut. Once when it goes in the net, it's just like you're on top of the world for the next 10 seconds and after that. Well, not for the next 10 seconds. When I went home, obviously, that night, I couldn't sleep. I was sitting up all night thinking that actually happened. But it's unbelievable. I don't think anything will ever match it.
And of course, no VAR in the English Football League trophy. So once you knew it was in, and you weren't having to pause your celebration like all the poor Premier League players at the moment.
Once I hit the back of the net, there was no going back, so I was delighted at that. But my family was over with me that week. They built it coming up for the game, and obviously I didn't think I was going to play. And they said they went home the morning of the game. I think my girlfriend went home as well. So they said, look, just wanted to book a flight to make a home out the day after the game, just in case you get on. And I said, look, save your money. I'm not going to get on. I won't get any minutes. I said, I'm not even supposed to be in the squad. And then, obviously, when I went onto my phone, into the group, found the group chat after the game, I was getting a bit of a grilling.
Of course.
So, it got out too well.
Yeah, myself and Trevor speaking early in the week as well, because Rotherham have an important game in League One against Bristol Rovers, which took place yesterday on Saturday, so we don't know the result of that. But Trevor, you've made up to now 8 league appearances in League One as well, and of course those appearances in the Cup. How have you found the transition from being a regular player with Shamrock Rovers in the League of Ireland to competing for a place, injury aside, which of course was a massive hit to you, but now that you're back fully fit, competing for a place every week at League One level?
Well, look, obviously when you're in Rovers and back at Rovers, you're playing week out and you know you're going to play, like, but when you come over here and the standard of players and the people that's in my position as well, I think it makes you improve as a player, knowing that you have to push yourself every week to get into the team. And once you get into the team, you have to take your opportunity or else the next fella is going to be in. So it pushes you on as a player, and I think it makes you better as a player yourself, knowing that you're going to have to fight with people for your place, like.
Yeah, and it's been something that has been spoken about and written about a lot in recent years. You know, people asking, you know, people who played in both, say, the League of Ireland Premier and League One or League Two or whatever, to make a comparison in standards between the two leagues. And I know, you know, there's a massive difference in stadiums and, you know, I'm sure in the top clubs in League One in attendances as well. But how have you found the football and you know, having been a player who's played 100 games for Rovers who were at the top end of the League of Ireland here, to being now in League One at a team at the top end of League One?
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong, League of Ireland is a good they're a good standard of teams, but I think over here now in League One there's a lot more more teams that is gonna give you a good game. Where in League of Ireland there's only them one or two games that you're gonna get tested in the game, where over here now every game is a good game, every game they're gonna have to fight for the game. Anybody can beat anybody in this league, and I think that's a good thing about it. They're not going out thinking, oh, we're gonna beat these anyway. It's every game, God knows where you can end at the end of the season, because everybody's just taking points off everyone. So it's a good standard over here. Fitness and physically, like, is a lot stronger over here, and the standard of players are a little bit better, like.
Your Honour, that's what I call sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore on Sunday speaking to former Shamrock Rovers man Trevor Clark, now playing for Rotherham United in League One. We've spoken a little bit about the football, Trevor. Now let's hear about life off the pitch. And you mentioned how quickly the move happened, and I'm sure you had to spend some time in a variety of different hotels in the area before you managed to find yourself an apartment. So how's life off the pitch? Everything from, you know, where to live, to a car, to having to cook the own, you know, your own meals, and also, I'm sure, a little bit of homesickness as well.
Yeah, well, look, obviously when you first move along, is the hardest part. Getting over them 4-6 weeks is probably one of the toughest things you can do, especially when you're going over and you have no place to live. And as I said, I was in the hotel for the first about 5 weeks I was over here, and then I got a date from the apartment. So I just went out and got all my stuff from IKEA and just took the chance that I was going to be in the apartment on that date. So luckily enough I was, and the day I got in I got all my stuff delivered from IKEA and got everything set up. And but I was going around hotels with basically all my pillowcases, my bed clothes, everything just for the new apartment. I felt that I just feel horrible when you're in. You just want to get in, you want to get settled down as quick as you can, like. But once I got that sorted, it kind of, yeah, everything else was falling into place. Got my own car then a few weeks after that. So I think the car was probably one of the biggest things, because you need to get in and out of training, and you want to pick people up from the airport, or it's just all them things add up. And I think once you get them sorted, it's not too bad then, like. But coming down to the cooking part of it, I'm not the best cook. I don't know, I'm not going to say I'm a good cook, but I can cook chicken and rice, and probably that's the only thing I can cook. Well, it was tough at the start, but I'm gradually finding my feet. And obviously my missus coming over and she's helped me settle in, and she's doing a little bit of cooking, but hers isn't great either.
I hope she's not listening or she'll never cook for you again or she'll poison you.
I'd say I'm the better cook down at Hilver, so I'd probably prefer to cook myself, but I'll go on my home, come over every week and help me settle in, obviously doing everything, designing the inside of the apartment the way she wanted it. I just let her do all that, so she has everywhere looking nice and smelling nice and everything is fresh.
Lovely. Now, the words IKEA make me a little bit scared, Trevor, because I built a home office in my house about 6 months ago, and you know, it used to be a bedroom, and got a, you know, the desk from IKEA and the sofa and the office chair and the bracket for the TV and the TV and somewhere else and like a little place for storage, and I had to get my stepdad, who's like a builder tradesman type, really really brilliant at all that stuff, to come. And it took him about 6 hours to build it, because I was looking at all these bolts and packages and instructions going, what am I meant to do here? How did you get on?
Well, to be fair, I got all my stuff in, and then I got in the night, I got all my stuff delivered. I said, the first thing I need to do is I need to put my bed up, because that's the main thing you need. I said, I'll put my bed up tonight, and then I can put everything else up as I go along, so I'm not going to rush into it. So the first night, all my stuff came. There I am, I was there for about 4 hours trying to put this bed together. So finally you get the bed up, the whole bed is up, and then I'm just standing there looking at the bed, and I realise, I'm like, I have no mid-beam or slats off the bed. So I'm thinking, where are they? So I rang up IKEA, went back to IKEA, I think this is at like 8:30 at night, it shuts at 9 o'clock, jumped into a taxi, because I had no car at the time, jumped into a taxi, went down, and I said to them, okay, look, none of the stuff came with the bed, and she says to me, you have to buy them separate. So I had to buy them separate and get a taxi all the way back up, put them on, and then finally I could sleep down that night. But it took me a good few days to put everything up. But to be fair, one of my mates from Dublin, Jordan, she came over, and I know he was at one of my matches, he put most of my stuff up for me, so it wasn't too bad.
You heard it here first. So Trevor Clark, having spent 5 weeks in different hotels carrying his life around with him, he buys half the bed and nearly had to sleep on the floor on his first night in his apartment because he didn't know what he had to buy. My God.
Oh,
the life of a footballer, huh? Trevor, finally, on the football itself, the Irish under-21s, you have been capped. I remember watching you playing in Whitehall in that, you know, the first game under Stephen Kenny, the Irish under-21 home-based team played against the Irish amateur team. I can't even remember when that was. It must have been around a year ago. It must have been around this time last year, was it?
It was over a year ago.
Yeah, and I know, you know, injuries and stuff have hampered. I think the last time you were called up to the squad, you were unable to play because of the injury as well. So I'm not sure if you played a competitive game under Stephen Kenny, but you are still eligible. There are three games left in this campaign. The team have done brilliantly. A very young team. Even a lot of players, you know, younger than you have been starring in it. What have you made of kind of watching from a far, and how ambitious are you to get back into that squad now that you're back fully fit and I'm sure raring to get back in green again?
Yeah, obviously it's been a long time since I've played a competitive game, obviously for our country, and it's always a great achievement to get called up for our country, and especially looking at the Ireland under 21 squad, the way, so how good they're doing now and the squad that they have. You're just looking from the bush, but you just want to be a part, you want to be with the lads, and then when I got the call up I was buzzing, and then obviously for it to be put down with an injury, but looking at them now and the players that they have, Stephen Kenny, and how they're going now in the group stage with a couple of games left and they can qualify as well, so I'll just hopefully get back playing and get my fitness up, and then hopefully can be involved in the squad, because the squad that they have now is very good, so it will be a good competition for places in the squad as well.
And Trevor, lastly, I just wanted to finish on, you know, maybe some advice that you might have for maybe young people listening or parents who, you know, maybe are young players in the League of Ireland, or maybe they're still playing for schoolboy clubs here in Dublin and in Ireland. And there's been debates recently about, you know, how good the League of Ireland underage is for young players. I certainly think from 13 and up, it has been a great success so far. You've come through under 19 football certainly as well. And you've had the opportunity to come home, to be able to play for a League of Ireland club, to get enough games then in the senior level to be able to go back to the UK, you know, and earn proper money on a proper contract as an adult as opposed to as a child. And I just feel now with the way the FAI is, and hopefully with the way the League of Ireland will be in the coming years and so on, that there's a great opportunity for young people in this country to really go and chase their football dream here without having to do what you had to do and originally go to the UK at 16. And I'm sure as well you're very, very happy to have had the League of Ireland help that you did have to progress your career.
Yeah, no, look, I think if we could go back in time, and obviously before I went over to Middlesbrough, from the experience that I've had, if I could have went back in time, I wouldn't have went to Middlesbrough. at such a young age, because you're too young, like, you're still only a mammy's boy, you don't know what you're doing, you're in a different country, you're in digs. It's a different life altogether. People think, oh, I need to go to England now, I need to get over there, and they think it's the end of the world if they don't go over by the time they're 18. But if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have went till, obviously, right now, till I got the experience and obviously what I know. So if I was go back in time, and the young players now coming through, I'd stay in the League of Ireland as long as I can, get as much experience as you can, and you're going to learn off everybody, and you're going to be more mature going over when you're in your 20s, and you're going to have a better chance at playing first team football, because if you stay in the League of Ireland and you break into the one of the four teams, you're going to get bought by a manager. You want to, you're going to be straight in and in and around the fourth team rather than be going over stuck in the academy, not getting in, and then you end up coming home. So if I was all young players coming through now, I'd just stay in the League of Ireland as long as I can and get as much experience as I can.
Great stuff, fantastic advice, and a really interesting interview from Trevor Clark. Trevor, thanks for your time. The best luck for the rest of the season with Rotherham, hopefully with the Irish 21s as well, and the next time I go to IKEA I'll give you a ring.
Thank you.
You're on the That's What I Call Sport on Dublin's 98 FM with myself, Jamie Moore, this Sunday. Now, still to come, we're going to check in with the Irish provinces involved in the Champions Cup, preparations for league campaigns for the Dubs, including a chat with Paul Mannion. We'll hear as well about the latest on the FAI's future, of course, after that crucial meeting with the government and UEFA officials during the week. Our chat with 17-year-old darts player Keane Barry, the World Youth Darts Champion. He's also made his debut at the Men's World Championships over Christmas as well. He'll join us, and we'll hear next about the return to the octagon of this man. We're back in 2 minutes.
98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
You're very welcome back to the That's What I Call Sport on Dublin's 98 FM with myself, Jamie Moore. Hope you're having a very nice Sunday. And 98 FM's Nathan Whelan joins me in studio. Nathan, hello. How are you, sir? Firstly, the return of the notorious Conor McGregor against the Cowboy last night. How did he get on?
Good morning, Jamie. Yes, I am still riding the wave of emotions having just watched that fight just a couple of hours ago. Conor McGregor stopped Donald Cowboy Cerrone by TKO just 40 seconds into the first round. It was an emphatic fight. He marched forward throwing hands, shoulders, you name it. He was throwing it. He then followed that up with a head kick on the American and then finished the fight with a barrage of ground and pound punches. The Irishman was thrilled as he spoke to Joe Rogan in the immediate aftermath.
That was about as clean and decisive a first round as you could ever get. You hurt him in the clinch with your shoulder. Is this something that you've worked on?
I changed levels with it and come up into it, so it's a good shot.
I set another record. I'm the first fighter in UFC history to secure knockout victories at featherweight, at lightweight, and now at welterweight across three weight divisions. So I'm very, very proud of that. Donald holds the record for most head kick knockouts. The amount of records that man has, but one of the records he holds most head kick knockouts. I'm so happy to be able to get him down with a head kick myself. So I'm very, very happy, very proud tonight. My team has been phenomenal. The work has been phenomenal. The people have been phenomenal. Thank you all for the support.
Nathan, it's rugby next, and you're going to round up the Irish provinces in Heineken European Champions Cup action, of course, the last weekend of pool games as well. Two games yesterday and two games today. Let's start with Leinster and Benetton.
Leinster secured a home quarter-final in the European Champions Cup. They beat Benetton 18-0 away. Choice from Doris and Tracy helped the Blues secure that important victory, born, of course, with one conversion and two penalties as well. Leo Cullen spoke to Leinster Rugby TV on the hard-fought win.
As you can see, pretty horrific conditions here in what we thought was going to be sunny Treviso. We're delighted to get a win. Had to dig it out. I thought we had great support here today. So, we talked beforehand, got into the game just about. It was a reasonably simple equation for us. We just needed to win the game. And after digging in and weathering the storm, I think in the first 20 minutes, I thought we had a lot more control after that in the game, particularly in the second half. As the game wore on, we managed to play in the right areas of the field, put some good pressure on, and obviously got another penalty, a couple of tries, and we got what we needed out of the game. So overall delighted. Yeah, exactly. I think you try and control as much as you can. And, you know, there's the statistical advantage of playing at home in a quarterfinal. That doesn't really count for much, but, you know, it's important that we try and make it count. So hopefully we'll get a big crowd, which I presume will be at the Aviva Stadium. And, you know, like a lot of the support that are here today don't have quite as far to travel to go to the game. So, I think it's very positive overall. You know, we'll see. Sit obviously back and watch who we get over the next day in a bit, and watch with great interest.
Yes, the Blues continue their undefeated run. Elsewhere, Ulster secured a 22-15 win over Bath yesterday, but there are two provinces in action today. Munster face the Ospreys today at 1 p.m, needing a miracle if they are to stay in the Champions Cup, while Connacht, who are already out, face Montpellier today. That kick-off is at 3:15.
So that's Conor McGregor, the Champions Cup. What else is in our roundup this Sunday?
Ireland lead the West Indies following the first of their three T20 tests in the Caribbean. They won on Wednesday, 208 runs with 7 to 204, a 4-run win there. Incredible achievement for the Irish team. The second day was stopped due to rain, and the tour takes place later on today at Warner Park. That's 10 p.m. Irish time.
And Nathan, finally, the Dubs, the Dublin Footballers, back in Allianz League action next weekend, as well as the Hurlers too on Saturday and Sunday, and the Dublin Ladies getting ready to begin their league campaign as well. So a busy weekend for those in blue. We're going to hear from Paul Mannion in a second, but first you might just remind us of recent Dublin results, of course, in the Auburn Cup and the Walsh Cup, and give us those fixtures, times and venues for the big kick-off of the league next weekend.
The Dublin Hurlers will also look to make up for their Walsh Cup semi-final defeat to Galway last week when they take on Kilkenny. That takes place on the 26th, which is next Sunday. That is at Nolan Park, their first game in the league. For the Dublin Ladies, they play Tipperary in the National Football League next Sunday on the 26th of January. Mick Bowen's Ladies attempt to build on that incredible 3-in-a-row year they had last year. Meanwhile, Dublin Camogie team are in Littlewoods, Ireland National League action against Galway, who are the reigning champions. That takes place the first weekend of February. The Dublin Footballers under Desi Farrell, they kick off their Allianz Football League next Saturday, the 25th of January at Croke Park against none other than Kerry. Now, one man who was key for Desi Farrell's plans going forward is, of course, Paul Mannion. He spoke to Off the Ball earlier in the week.
What's the off-season been like? I think you're just back from Bali a few days now.
Yeah, we're back Saturday morning. Had a great off-season. It's probably my longest now in a couple of years. So I had all of November, December to relax and recover. And nice couple of weeks in Bali to top it all off as well.
What was your feeling in late November when the news broke about Jim Gavin?
Yeah, I was surprised. It was a little sad to see him go. Obviously he's been great for the team and great for us as people. Huge amount of success with Jim. We've kind of put that to bed now and said our goodbyes, if you will. And I've met with Desi and got stuck in the train already. So I think Desi's going to bring a lot of kind of fresh ideas to the table. We're all familiar with him and what his management style is like, so it's going to be exciting too.
Is that the hope that will ease the transition? Because many players in this panel would have played for Desi on successful Dublin minor and 21 teams. I guess a lot of you would know what he's about before he even comes in.
Yeah, certainly. I think that it'll help us and it'll help Desi. He's made clear to us he's not coming in to try and tear up the playbook as such. He's going to look and kind of observe how things have been done over the last few years and kind of bounce ideas off us and use the kind of experience of the older players as well to help him going forward. And as time progresses, he's going to make his own print on it. Tons of experience himself. Obviously he's won All Ireland at minor and under 21, and himself as a player too, so he is certainly a good pedigree behind him as well.
Paul, I'm sure the concern for the year will be to try and win yourselves a sixth All Ireland title in a row, but you'll be on Air Sport against Kerry, start to the National Football League coming up on Saturday week. What's the hope for Dublin for the National Football League? Is it to be as competitive as you possibly can at this stage of the year?
Yeah, exactly. Just to try and perform at our best. That's all we really concern ourselves with. If we can perform from one game to the next, we'll put ourselves in good contention to be in a National League final. Look, it's an extremely tough competition at the best of times, and coming back a little bit later in the year makes it extra tough, but it's exciting. We love playing these games, we love going on the road in winter time, and I think Dublin supporters and supporters around the country really enjoy the National League games, so Yeah, just dying to get going now.
That's Dublin's Paul Mannion speaking to Off the Ball. A full podcast of that right now on 98fm.com, where you can watch the chat. He was in studio as part of the AIG partnership on youtube.com/offtheball. You're on the That's What I Call Sports on Dublin's 98fm with myself, Jamie Moore, this Sunday. On the way next, we're going to be joined by 17-year-old Irish darts player Keane Barry. He's the first darts player we've ever interviewed on the show, the world youth champion, and he also made his debut at the Men's World Championships over Christmas as well. And here's the reason why he's on the show.
And I hit my first 180 when I was 5.
Sorry, your first 180 when you were 5?
Yeah.
Now That's What I Call Sport is back in just a sec.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
You're very welcome back to Now That's What I Call Sport on Dublin's 98FM. It's Jamie Moore here. We're with you every Sunday morning between 9am and 10am, and also every Sunday evening between 11pm and midnight. Everything from the show is podcasted in full and for free in the podcast section of 98FM.com, and I'm very happy to welcome the current BDO World Youth Darts Champion and a man who played for the first time at the World Darts Championships themselves at Ali Pally over Christmas, 17-year-old Keane Barry from Deakin, County Louth, born the 25th of June 2002. That should make you feel very old. Keane, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Jamie? How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Feeling good this morning after winning the world title, so it's an amazing feeling, to be honest.
Yeah, great stuff. Now, Keane, firstly, your first name is spelled K-E-A-N-E, and you were telling me off-air, because you were born in 2002, you're named after Roy Keane and that famous World Cup in Saipan that he never actually played, or the pre-training camp in Saipan and the World Cup in Japan and South Korea, which he never actually played in.
Well, my father said whoever scores first in the World Cup for Ireland on that day, whatever it was going to be my name, like. And Matt Holland scored, so my mother wasn't having any of that. So Roy Keane came up, and the show was Keane, so it was supposed to be Matt, but the man wasn't having any of that, so she wasn't.
Yeah, very good. So that was 2002. I was actually born in 89, and I had Paddy Bonner on the show last weekend talking about the famous penalty save in 1990. So I was only a baby then as well. So even though you're named after a Keane, Roy, or maybe even Robbie who were involved in that Irish squad, I'm sure you don't remember very much about that World Cup.
No, definitely not. I wouldn't have a clue about it, to be honest with you. But see a few videos on YouTube and I've been watching it back, but it's still going there.
Now, Keane, I normally start the interviews at the start and the beginning of people's careers, but I just want to start kind of in recent times for you first, if we can, because I mentioned you're the current World Youth Darts Champion and you also played for the first time in the Senior World Darts Championship at Alexandra Palace over Christmas. You might just remind myself and our listeners and explain to us exactly what you've been doing for the last month or 6 weeks playing at the top level of darts, both at youth level and at senior level.
Yeah, I qualified for the PDC World Men's Championships through winning the Tom Kirby Memorial in CQF in Dublin. I was actually 5-2 down in that game, come back and won 6-5, and that qualified me for the PDC Men's. And then I was drawn against Vincent van der Voort, which was, for me, probably one of the hardest draws of the first round. But it's one of them games you just have to kind of get on with it. It was a fast-paced game, and I lost 3-0, but I think I played pretty well. I just had maybe one or two mistakes, but that's kind of forgiven, I think, for the first time playing up there. So it was a tough enough night up there, but it was enjoyable all the time. Then on the Saturday then, I played in the JDT World Youth Championship, and I played a fellow, Adam Gallas from Czech Republic, and I won that 5-3, so it's JDC World Youth Champion, and I won the BDO World Championships yesterday, so I'm a two-time world champion in the space of 3 weeks.
Wow, congratulations, amazing stuff as well. If we talk about the men's senior one first, and you know, it's on Sky Sports, and the atmosphere, I've never been to darts. You're actually the first darts player, Keane, I've ever interviewed. I've never been to darts. I would love to go, and I know at times that they have kind of expeditions on in you know, Ireland as well. But you might just explain to us about actually being in the World Darts Championship, your walk-on in front of such a big crowd, and also live on TV, or you know, certainly, you know, all the TV cameras there as well, and on the biggest stage in the world as a 17-year-old Irish darts player.
Yeah, the atmosphere is amazing there. Like when you go out and you're walking up on stage, like I had a lot of support from home there. Everyone was there from home, and there was at least 60, 70 people there from the league and all other surrounding areas, like, and just the atmosphere walking up, everyone was chanting my name, and I mean, even being up on that stage and to be able to play on that iconic stage was just a dream come true.
And what's it actually like, you know, when you're just backstage and you're about to walk out? We had a some fun on the show across Christmas, asking our listeners to tell us what their darts walk-on tune would be, and mine would be Love Inc. You're a Superstar, and you know, you're standing there, I think yours is TNT by AC/DC if I'm correct on that, but you're standing there and you're actually waiting to walk out in front of that crowd and play for the first time in the World Darts Championships. How are you feeling, what are you thinking and all that sort of stuff?
For me, I'm just thinking it's game time then, like you're just in just focus from when you walk out, ready to walk on, that's when it's like you need to be focused straight from the start. When you get up on stage, then you have one job to do, and that's win. So that's the way I think, and that's the way I think everyone should probably think.
And how are you feeling then when your music hits and you're actually walking out? And I love the videos of all the darts players, you know, giving high fives to the crowd as they walk through. And I saw even a couple of darts players decided they do a little dance on the stage and stuff. But I'm sure you had, you know, those butterflies in your tummy when your music's actually on and you're walking up to the stage.
Yeah, it's great when you're walking up and everyone there wants to probably see you do well. And there's a great buzz in the place, and even when you're walking up for your family and you're giving your family a hug, and when you go up on stage, look out and see everyone there enjoying themselves, and they're looking forward to actually seeing you play. So it's an amazing feeling. It was definitely one of the best experiences in my life so far.
And in terms of your age, Keen, you're 17, you turn 18 this coming June 25th. So, like, were you the youngest or one of the youngest ever players to play in the senior men's? Have, you know, is it quite common or quite rare for people as young as you to qualify and to play with the big boys?
Yeah, I was the youngest player this year in this year's men's world championship, and I'm the third ever youngest player to play in the World Championship. I actually knocked MVG, and Michael Van Garen is world number one at the minute, was the third youngest player, and then I knocked him out of a bit of history. But hopefully that's not the last time, but that's just something I'm the third ever youngest player to play in the World Championship.
Wow, so you spent some time across Christmas in the UK as well, and you're now back, and actually, you're probably still in the UK now, are you?
Sorry?
Are you still in the UK at the moment?
Yeah, I'm still in London now. I'm flying home today.
Okay.
I fly back out to Manchester on Wednesday.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask, you might just explain to us, you know, the different places in the world and in Europe and in the UK that you've seen as a young darts player so far. And of course, the sport is continuing to grow, and I'm sure, you know, its audience and its appeal in different parts of the world will continue to grow. And I'm sure across your, what will hopefully be a long career, you'll get to visit some quite cool places to go and play darts in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I played in Japan, and I've played in like the Germany, Czech Republic, all over Europe. Really, like I've been to lots of places, and it's one good thing with that, you get to see the whole world, you get to travel a lot, and it's pretty all you can ask for as a young lad. Like I've seen lots of places where I'm sure lots of 17-year-olds would love to see.
And in terms of education and school, Keane, did you finish your leaving cert? What's your situation? Are you going to go to college, or is darts kind of your full-time gig at the moment?
I actually left school I stayed up to 6 year. I left before the leaving cert, and I did scaffold with my dad for the last year and a half. So I haven't really been working the last 6 months because darts has been just really flat out the whole time. I think it was 13 or 14 weeks I was away every single weekend in a row. Like, so I haven't really been working the past 6 months, but I was working for a year and a half in Scotland before that.
Okay, you're on the That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore here on Sunday speaking to 17-year-old Keane Barry, who is a two-time World Youth Darts Champion and played for the first time in the Senior Men's Darts Championship at Alexandra Palace across Christmas time as well. And the first ever darts player we've spoken to on 98FM, and I love speaking to, you know, people from sports maybe that we always do, you know, the rugby and the soccer and the Gaelic and so on, but it's really cool to be speaking to someone from a different sport who's performing very, very well. Keane, take us back to when you're a kid and you first pick up a dart, you first see a dartboard, and you realise very quickly that you absolutely love it.
My dad used to play a lot in the house, and he used to practice a lot of the time. And I just kind of, as being young, only four when I started playing, I just wanted to do everything he did. I just wanted to practice all the time. And every time he would be up there, I wanted to be practicing. And every time he stopped practicing, I would just stay up there and throwing at the dartboard. And I used to do maybe 4 or 5 hours practicing when I was younger. And I hit my first 180 when I was 5. So then I kind of just went from there, really.
Sorry, your first 180 when you were 5?
Yeah, a lot of people say that. I was young, but I used to really practice a lot. Like, I was strong for a full year then. And the first 180 I tried, I know it's hard to believe, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and for those listening who maybe wouldn't know too much about darts, a 180 is three treble 20s, which is the top score you can make at one visit, which is three darts as well. And you hear the announcer, I was going to say the ring announcer, but is he called the darts announcer or whatever, the commentator, he goes 180.
He's just the referee.
Ah, okay. The referee is actually the person who's on the microphone calling out the scores as well.
Yeah. He'd have to, like, if a standing goes wrong, he knows all the rules. Or if it goes to a last, in the PDC, if it goes two sets all, two legs all, you have to read out what like, if it goes, it has to be won in by two clear legs. And so it's kind of just not to call it under it. You have to know all the rules behind it as well, so you would.
Okay, and just on that, when you're, you know, in the middle of a game, and I'm always very impressed with, you know, the graphics on Sky and how quickly they can, say if you throw 180, it quickly is able to move to what you need to get, and then when you can actually win that particular game or set in three darts or two darts, you can, you know, it says you need a treble 20 and you need a 17 and you need a double 14 to win. In your own head, are you very good at being able to work out exactly kind of what you need, and every dart you throw, you can quickly compute in your head what that's got you and what you need to get, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. When you're playing at kind of a high standard, you have to be able to, it has to be really good at counting, and you have to be able to, if you say you throw one spray dart somewhere where you maybe didn't want it to go, you have to be able to quickly adjust, which my math is probably very good, so I'm able to quickly adjust to, if I say I have 89 left and I hit a treble 7, I know exactly I have 68 left to go 18 bulls. Like, my math would be, I play kind of a game, I'm all over the board. If the treble 20 blocked, I got a 19 over to the 18, so that's probably one of the strongest parts of my game, and that's why. Even yesterday, in the youth final, I actually switched a lot over to the 18s, and I have different scores, and a lot of people have asked me why I switched so much, but it's just to leave the right out shots at the right times.
Okay, and how quickly when you're playing do you make a choice or make a decision? Because you see, you know, the three darts for most players are thrown quite quickly, you know, in sequence one after the other. And, you know, if a dart is thrown, as you said, maybe to the wrong part of the board, you very, very quickly decide in your head and then throw that dart. And it's almost like second nature that you know where each number is on the board and exactly what direction you need to throw it in.
Yeah, it's just one of those split-second things, so it is. And it's just one that you have to kind of quickly adjust. Because to some degree you can lose your rhythm. You have to stand back the whole time and think about what you're going for, what you need to hit. So for me, it's just one of those split second things of I know where I need to go or where I need to switch to.
Nice. So we were speaking about, you know, when you were a kid playing and you hit your first 180 when you were 5, and we got onto, you know, maths and scores and stuff. But just to take it back, so when you get into your kind of early teens and stuff, you're only 17 now. How quickly did darts become very, very serious for you, and how quickly did you realise that you might be able to actually make your career and make money and work as a professional darts player, which I'm sure is your ambition?
Well, I started playing a lot of competitions when I was 8, but I think it was 2014, I think. I actually stopped playing for about two or three months. It just wasn't going for me at all. And I had this bag of like stems and flights and darts. So just put my hand in, took out these darts, took out these flights and these stems, started using them. Completely new to me, nothing I've ever used before. And I was, there was 4 events left in the Irish rankings. I won the last 4 events, and then the next year I won the first 6 events. So, and that's, I was doing Irish number one the past 4 years in the youth, and this year I finished number one in the men's. And that's it. All that kind of success has just gone from really when I picked them stands up. It's really just gone from there.
Wow, and you turn 18 June this coming year. This year, should I say, of course, because we're in January 2020 now, Keane. So once you're 18, you can't play in the youth championships anymore, and you'll be kind of a senior men's player only. What's your thoughts and plans and ambitions moving forward for the next, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years and so on, in terms of where you'd like your career to go and how quickly you want this to develop, and as I mentioned, to be able to, you know, be able to make enough money to have it as your job, and hopefully World Championships, you know, around Christmas time next year and so on?
Yeah, like I'm going to a Q school, that's a qualifying school to become a professional next week. And if you have to, either win on the day, or you can get a card through the through the point system. So you have to. It's a very hard. It's a very hard kind of like 2 days. It's very tough competition. There's maybe 400, 500 players entered in, but
if I don't get my tour card this year, there's always next year, and there's other teams, challenge tour and development tour. So no matter what happens next week, there's still an exciting year ahead, and hopefully she'll be on the professional circuit in the next 2 or 3 years.
Great stuff. That is the voice of 17-year-old Keane Barry from Dalich in County Louth, a two-time world youth champion, should I say, in darts, and also played for the first time in the senior World Darts Championship at Alexandra Palace across Christmas time as well. And the first ever darts player we've ever spoken to at 98FM. Keane, fascinating stuff. Keep up the good work on the practice. Hopefully that professional tour card comes in the next little while, and we'll keep in touch. Thanks a million.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's the voice of Keane Barry, 17-year-old Irish darts player. Hit his first 180, which is the top score you can get when you throw 3 darts, when he was 5 years old. That full interview right now is in the podcast section at 98fm.com, as well as our chats with Paul Mannion and Trevor Clark and the rest of today's show. Have a great Sunday, folks. Thanks, as always, to Nathan Whelan for his fantastic work. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye-bye.